You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Life on the Other Side of Should, a podcast of the She Hive Women's Collective in Ferndale, Michigan. I'm your host, Ursula Adams.
And I'm your other host, Sonia Mastic.
And I'm your other side host, Jackie Smith.
And each week we gather to debunk the pretty bullshit women have been taught to believe about themselves.
And explore how women can thrive when they live life according to their own truth, or maybe rules.
Well, lovelies, you are in for a treat this week, because there's been some singing and some drinking happening before this podcast started today. And hopefully you'll get a little taste of it. So, Sonia, why don't you start? Because you're in some rare form this evening.
It's rarefied air in your brain tonight.
You're delicious.
That was me singing to my vodka. You're delicious.
You're delicious. Jackie, well, how you doing tonight? I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Well, no. Apparently she's got off.
No.
We're going.
We're going to bring more drinks in because I want to see where this goes.
I'm doing way better now that I'm here with my lovely ladies.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
We were talking about the intro, and I really wanted to say that I'm the other side bitch, but I didn't.
You're my side piece.
Because I'm not, but also that's the intro.
Yes. People have to get to know us a little bit better before they know that about us, right?
Yeah, I'm here angrily drinking vodka because beforehand, there's a Mexican restaurant near the podcast studio, and my other two lovely hosts were over there eating, and I decided I'd just drop in beforehand before we got in here. And I smelled the food and wanted to eat everything there. So now I'm angrily drinking.
How does one angrily drink? Is it like this?
Oh, are we going to do some ASMR?
Yeah.
Do you know that my brain cannot process the letters ASMR. Every time I hear it, I'm like, I can't picture the letters in my head. It's the weirdest
thing. You think
asser? I don't know. And so I just, every time I hear it, I just repeat the letters to myself. And so NPR was doing a story on it.
I was listening to that. Right.
And so I'm just driving home from the She Hive.
I was listening to that.
The whole night I'm driving home from the She Hive. And the whole time I'm going, I just kept repeating the letters to myself. ASMR. ASMR.
That's not a way to relax.
No, it just doesn't.
I couldn't remember the name of that ASMR. ASMR. Yeah. And I was describing it to somebody, and I was talking about the tickly brain sound.
That's exactly what it is.
So Aaliyah, my stepdaughter, she came home, came to visit. She moved out recently, and she came over last Thursday to visit, and she's an ASMR junkie. And so she was playing. This is the best. So she didn't realize that the YouTube app on our smartphone or our smart TV was connected to her dad's YouTube account. And she loves her a drag queen. And so she was playing me one of the stars from RuPaul's Drag Show. It has a podcast. It's hilarious. And she does some ASMR. Well, apparently now Brian, all of the video suggestions on YouTube
are drag queens,
transvestites. And now it's like sex trips to Vietnam are starting to show up on it. He's like, what is this? And I'm like,
how wrong we have gone. I want to know what the hell I looked up that on Facebook and the Amazon ads, these really weird things show up, like car repair tools. I'm like, wait, what? You know, it's something for like timing or something. Yeah. I'm like, you know, so, and then every now and again, something
maybe when you typed in plug, it came up. Yeah.
Something really like spark dirty plug? Looking will show up. And I was like, what did I look up?
Yeah. Have you ever looked on Facebook? You can see what ads are assigned to you on the back end.
Yeah.
Like all of mine made perfect sense except for soccer. I'm like, where the fuck did this come from?
Maybe they think you're a soccer mom.
I know, right? Like that's about as close to soccer as I'm ever going to get.
We're going to do here. I'm going to do my confession.
Okay.
Okay.
And my confession is, nobody knows this about me. Nobody. Not even my husband.
And now everybody's going
to
know.
Yeah. Is that I listen to ASMR every day.
Do you?
Really?
Every day at my desk. But so on the inside, I'm listening to soft, crinkly voices. Now outside, I'm like, oh, come on. Come on. You could not want this right now. So it's a duality role. But then I close it when people come in, like I'm watching porn at work. I'm like, you know, you don't want to. You know, what do you need? What do you need?
Just that's have a fluster. Why you moved out of the big room into a private office,
right? For my ASMR videos. No, but that's why I wear headphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I listen to binaural beats actually a lot of times, but I actually just put it on really low and I like leave it open, like not even on headphones. And like everybody around me suddenly gets calm. They're like, what's going on?
Yeah. I listen in on all the conversations happening in the building. So I know what the hell's going on in my business.
Yeah, we were talking about that at book club last night. So at the She Hive last night was book club, and somehow we got on the subject of gossip. And, you know, you should not want to gossip, right? And, mm-hmm. I feel bad. I don't like to gossip. I really don't want to be that person.
But it is a bonding experience.
It is. Yeah. It is. And almost everybody in book club admitted, they're like, well, I don't do it. But when everybody around me does it, I make sure that my music goes down real low so I can hear what they're saying.
Yeah. I'm going to call a little bullshit.
Yeah, they all do it. Yeah.
We all do, because we might just be critiquing, or I like to say that I observe and I share my observations.
Yeah.
So, and the last...
That's a nice way to say I talk smack about
it. Yeah. I'm talking crap about you.
I observe your behavior and I share it with others.
You asshole.
In a nice ASMR voice. Do you know what that bitch did?
I want to put my fingers in her brain and tickle her brain.
Okay, you keep drinking.
So a friend of mine, at her company that she works for, they have a gossip rule. And you
do it and do it often.
Do it often. Actually, you could potentially lose your job if your conversation about another person is not with someone who can affect change with that person.
Yeah.
Then And is in a constructive and a sharing an observation way, you could lose your job.
They're
down cold about it.
So that I like about it, because, you know, I feel so the She Hive, because we have 27 women on our key holder team.
What?
I know.
We need
whatever.
To talk later.
I know. You know, whatever. They, you know.
This is why I'm the other side host, because I'm not a key holder.
Not yet. And so, but with that many women, colleagues actually running a place together or a team of that size, mm-hmm. there's bound to be conflict at times, right? And it's been one of my steadfast rules that we don't talk about each other, right? But every once in a while, somebody really gets my goat and I gotta let it go somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And there's nothing, because we're not in a reporting structure, you know? So like nobody can do anything to anybody there. I mean, we're a collective, right?
Right.
And so, although I guess actually I call bullshit on that technically. Something could happen if the group decided
to make each other's lives miserable.
But
and I do.
Yeah. But sometimes I just got to get that shit out, and I do, and then I feel better. And it's not always with somebody that, you know, can do something constructively about it, other than hear me out and let me know.
Well, then there's the disinterested party.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the disinterested party that like, oh man, I heard something and I can't hold it in anymore. I don't want to own all this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I have to say that. As an employer, as a boss, as a leader, I have learned that my words, as much as I'm trying to like say be constructive or bring it back or whatever, it gets twisted and turned, and I can hurt people's feelings really, really easily because of my position and role in the world, and just the fact that they call me the redheaded freight train. I just make stuff happen. So this has been uncomfortable. To realize that I have my words have harmed other people. And that's really, really uncomfortable, and I'm really struggling with that right now. That what I didn't feel was gossip looks like gossip.
Yeah,
and
if you're a powerful person, though, it does feel like that. If you say anything about people, you know, I think there is this power, and if somebody feels insecure.
Uh-huh.
It can just come off that way. There's no, I'm not offering you an answer or a solution, but it is just really fascinating that even though your intent wasn't ill at all.
Right.
Yeah. It's a different role when you get into a leadership role. I mean, there's just different rules, right? We're just learning as we're going.
And it's been a really, really emotional weekend, last weekend, and it's still rolling, where I just really want to retreat from everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of anything. It's really hard. And then that's when I go, just remember when you're working out, you're not having an aneurysm. Just remember, you're getting through this and it's part of the growing process. Mm-hmm. And that I can grow really slowly on it right now. I don't have to learn it and master it all right now.
Yeah, giving yourself space. Don't have to should anything.
I'm old,
right? So I got to should. I got to get out.
Get it.
Okay.
Get it.
So this has happened with quite a few of my clients where they come to me and tell me, most of my clients are female, and they come to me and tell me, just had my annual performance review, and I've been told that everything's great, except I need to be less empathetic in the workplace. And so many women, and these are women that are all on track to be partners or, like executive C-suite. And that's what's keeping them from the C-suite is they're too empathetic. It makes me so you should be less empathetic in the workplace. It makes me so goddamn mad.
I don't know if they're using the right word.
I don't think they're using the right word. That's what I really,
Are they being codependent? Are they being enabling? Yeah. Are they,
And this used to come up a lot when I was in corporate, is that, that was the feedback that I used to get all the time was I was too empathetic or too emotional. And what I finally came to realize, there was a growth edge where I had to learn to control my emotions more appropriately for myself even, but it was that I am a very emotional and overtly emotional person where I'm not afraid of emotions. I'm authentic that way. It's uncomfortable for people. And a lot of the clients that I'm working with, the one that I'm working with in particular now that just heard it's in IT where God, emotions are really fucking scary. So, I always...
And not allowed.
And not allowed. Well, if I can't program it, I don't know what I want to do with it. So interestingly enough, and I always ask them to go back and ask for an example because, Jackie, I think you're right. I think a lot of times they're using the wrong word. I don't know what they're actually saying when they say that. But today I was looking up, just Googling, how to respond to women in the workplace being told they're too emotional. There was nothing, which was so weird. All it was women are – it's a career stopper. That's what I just kept saying.
Sounds like it's an article.
I know. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. So – and can there be too much empathy?
Yeah, if they're using the wrong word, then yes. Can you be too invested in individuals or too emotional? I think, like if you're inappropriately emotional, but no.
If you lose yourself in the emotions of others.
Yeah.
For instance, I have some folks at work who are struggling with some things, and I can be really empathetic to their struggle to the point where I give them a pass. Mm-hmm. Or do I say, I'm really compassionate about this and I can feel that this is really hard for you and you have to level up.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's not the accountability past the empathy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see because I'm mostly women at all of my workplaces. And then so I see the really hard ass women who are like, I don't care what your struggle is. We're out.
Yeah.
You're dead to me. And then I also see that same woman like pick the person that gets the pass that they're really empathetic with.
Yeah,
I love what you said. Being empathetic with accountability—that's great.
Yeah.
So one of my clients, one of the first clients that ever brought this to me, so that I knew I wasn't the only one that it had ever happened to, made me feel good. Told me so. I told her, I said, go back and ask for an example. I really want an example because I want to understand what it is that's actually happening. Like, are you getting all up in somebody else's business? Well, that's different than empathy, right? And she came back and said she had so she worked in wills and estates, and so she was dealing with a gentleman whose wife had just passed away. They were going through the woman's will. She tapped him on the or patted him on the shoulder, and this was a financial firm, and patted him on the shoulder, and her partner told her, it made my skin crawl. And dude's wife just died. Seemed appropriate to me.
A hug seemed appropriate. Exactly. Yeah, not a pat on the shoulder. Yeah.
And she patted him on the shoulder, and that was called too empathetic. And therefore, it was, they labeled her from there on out, like, just too wishy-washy.
That bitch with feelings.
Exactly.
Right. And then
that human being.
And you know what? But yet I'm going to flip the script. Thank goodness, because she can get the hell out of there.
Oh, well, so that's a really good point. So one of the last times that I got a 360 review, which, by the way, I fucking hate 360 reviews, but I got a 360 review.
Good to know.
And yes. And, I don't need you to tell me what you think about me. I really don't, unless you're a part of my like really inner trusted circle. But it kept coming across, Ursula's too emotional. Ursula's, you know, too empathetic. And I, of course, because I'm emotional, started crying. And my coach, this badass woman, Anita, that I had through school, she's like, do you want to be less emotional? And I'm like, no, actually, I don't. I think it's one of my superpowers. And she goes, fine. She goes, good. She goes, you don't have to take this feedback.
Yeah.
You know, thank him for giving it and walk on.
And that's another should.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you feedback that this is going on, so you should accept all of it and make the changes according to what I want you to do. And I'm learning that a lot with my team over at Coventry, is that just today I'm having a conversation with my new operations manager, and I was telling him, I think you got the chops for this next level. And I'm seeing within you something within me where we get stopped by X, Y, and Z. And it's now your decision whether you think you have the chops for this next level, and I'm willing to support you, right? So that whole thing of heading into that, I just totally lost my train of thought. What was I talking about?
Because your voice is like warm bathwater. Yeah. You know, and like you start talking, we're all
so
like,
let me tell you about some terrible stuff.
You start talking, we're like, yeah.
You know what's funny is what? I'm going to say a thing. So my husband has other women leave the voicemail on his voicemail. It's like when, and he'll have somebody do a really sexy voice and go, I can do that for you. He goes, yeah, no, you can't. But
he says, you can't?
I can't. He does not find me, my voice, super sexy. Maybe because I'm really shrill with him all the time. But
he's wrong.
He's totally wrong.
I was like, so that was like, that felt sexy and good.
It is.
I like it. So
you should take other people's advice. That's what we were talking about, or other people's feedback.
Oh yeah. So in the feedback, I said, so I asked him, what do you think about that? And he goes, I love it because no one's ever told me that before. I said, I watch you analyze things, what everyone else does, and then we get into the mix because we know we can do it, and then we go, crap, I don't know what I'm doing. And you can't analyze your own stuff. So I said, I'm willing to be a partner with you in this if you're up for it. And if you want to. It's like, if you want to, you don't have to take what I want to say, because I've had different consultants come in and I get really defensive. Like, okay, no, I hired you as a business consultant, but what is the crap you're going to tell me about everything that I'm doing wrong first and how I need to change to suit your...
That is not consulting, by the way.
how I need to change to suit your methodology.
Yeah.
And then I learned that that's really not consulting, but that's what happens a lot of times.
It
and
is,
so that's
yeah.
that again, that whole thing of what I say, how I say you should be is, and then you don't change to that to suit me. That's a problem.
That's a good, I got to tell you. So that is one of my, I know if I would walk into a place and tell them what was wrong with them, they would pay me a shit ton of money and give them all their shoulds. And it goes against everything I believe. Like when I consult, it's a consultative, right? Like we are in there together. I think you know your own answers. My role in coaching and consulting, whatever, is just to pull out the answers you already know. And I'm going to tell you, people don't get it if I don't go in there and tell them.
Yeah.
People want to be told what to do. It drives me crazy. Also, this hair on my microphone is driving me crazy.
Do not take a sip of Verner's and then breathe.
Okay.
Ill-advised.
So we got about 5 minutes left tonight, and we haven't even tapped into the should box, which I just always, every time I say should box, makes me just
Do you want
giggle.
One? Do you want to do a quick one, or you want to live with the shoulds?
Let's do a quick one. So for those that are new to the podcast, what we do is we gather shoulds from the women of the She-Hive, and we put them, literally write them down and put them in a box. And
so when somebody at the She-Hive,
so
when someone says should, we all went, write it down, because this is not how we live.
So tonight's should that we just pulled out, you guys are going to laugh. We don't even have to pull it out. You should not be emotional. I think we've covered that.
Well, I can launch another should.
Okay, please.
So this is, I think, with strong women, and I can speak for myself and say this is...
I'm going to agree with you already.
Yes. Well, is that... we're holding hands right now. Is that because I'm a strong, independent woman, I should be able to handle everything on my own.
Oh, fuck.
I should be able to take care of things on my own. And I realized...
It makes me want to flip the table right now, but there's equipment.
Right.
But, I'm not allowed.
But I realized that... So this is how this came about. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Uh-huh.
We're having a problem with a neighbor. Neighbor's very mentally unstable, has a lot of problems. And he stays up all night singing to the radio. Radio full blast all night. It's been going on for months. And this has bothered me night after night after night. But it doesn't bother my husband, so he goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up sleeping on the couch. And so... I'm having crazy coming from all aspects of my life, and I finally snapped this week. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that I've behaved in a role in my marriage where I take care of shit.
Oh, my God, yes.
And he doesn't.
He doesn't have to. You trained him not to.
I trained him not to.
Yeah.
And so he came home the other night, and I'm making dinner, and it's nothing has been said. Mm-hmm. I get out of therapy. I come home, and I'm making dinner. And I don't even know I'm going to say this. He comes in, and he's like, hey, what's for dinner? And I'm like, your head on a platter. Seriously, I lose my shit about how, you know, if this bothers me so much, it should bother you, and you should be doing something to take care of it. Even just getting up and calling the cops. Why are they doing this thing? It's like, can I set up my bag?
No.
But so I realized the double thing of like, I had been placing that responsibility that should on me, mm-hmm. and then I've trained him not to do that because the moment that I brought it to his attention, he was like, oh, no, I totally get what you're saying. Absolutely. I will absolutely take care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like he was just like totally like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we get to the place where we're talking about what's really going on, what's underneath everything. So my new business consultant, she is a real business consultant and she's awesome. Accelerate Associates, Lisa Minini, plug. But she goes through this whole thing where she says, what's the story? What are the facts?
Yeah.
And then what did you make those facts mean?
Yeah.
And if you can get to that place, like you did, I got to that place. This is a thing that's hanging out. And then I get back to the facts. I've been doing that differently with a lot of people.
Yeah.
That whole thing like, hey, I'm not okay to take care of this anymore. And I've been even my management teams, all of them, I said, hey, I'm in a really bad space right now and I'm really having a hard time. So thank you for anchoring me. And then what happened, just saying that heartfeltly, they leveled it up even more.
Yeah. You know, Sonia, and I'm going to say this quickly because we got about a minute left. It's funny. The first time I had to say something to Brian, because I trained Brian not to take care of me, not even knowing that I was doing that. You know, it's just
everyone in my life.
Yeah. My husband and everyone else. Right. And I still remember one time I was super sick. And there was no pain reliever the time, because I can only take very specific types. And he had actually taken the last of mine.
You son of a.
And so I'm like, so I asked him, I'm like, where, I was super sick. I'm like, where's the liquid Vicodin? Because I can only take liquid and I can only take Vicodin. And he's like, oh, I took it. I'm like, okay. And you can see I'm in pain. You can see I'm super sick. And he's just like staring at me. And I'm like, son of a bitch. You know? And then finally, like the switch went off. And I'm like, ah, shit. Like, I would have always just gone and got it in the past. And I'm like, hey, you're going to have to go to the store and get it for me. And he's like, what? And then I'm like, you got to take care of me. This is your job. You take care of me. And he's like, okay, I'll go to the store and get it. You know? But there are still some times. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. The bigger growth edge comes then when I say shit to him. Like, it's really important to me. I need you to do it. And he's like, it's not important to me.
Right.
That would be like every time I've wanted to clean the house. It's really important to me. It would mean the world to me if you would like clean the bird cages more than once a fucking 4 years.
He's standing in his underwear. It ain't important to me.
he's like, you knew this about me when we met. I could give a fuck. You know? So then we have to talk about how we come to agreements, which maybe we can talk about on the next podcast because we're out of time. So with that, any last words, ladies?
Well, that's a little moment of putting out the pressure. So the last word is pressure. Actually, a big thing coming up in my life is boundaries.
Yeah.
And they tend to spark against each other, and that's okay.
Yeah. We're definitely going to have to get Robin from the She Hive in here to talk to us about relationships and boundaries. She is the most awesome person.
And that's what we've been talking about lately. Yeah. Is like, that's my running theme over and over.